Now from the KSFR newsroom, At Noon looks at the top local news headlines for this Friday, October 18th. Los Alamos National Laboratory employees are getting back to normal routine today in the wake of the reopening of the federal government. However, LANL's Fred D'Souza says resumption of all lab operations will take several days to perform in a safe, deliberate, and methodical manner. D'Souza expressed relief to KSFR that lab employees will be spared the hardship of a closure, at least for the time being. D'Souza says while no regular lab employees were furloughed during the government shutdown, nearly 300 environmental contractors were. New Mexico environmental groups rally against fracking this weekend in an event called the Global Frackdown. Fracking is the term used for the blasting of chemically treated water underground to mine oil and gas. Eleanor Bravo, the Albuquerque-based coordinator for Food and Water Watch, says Las Vegas, New Mexico, hosts today's first event, called the 11th-hour rally against fracking.
And it is a group of activists up there because the oil and gas industry is very interested in that pristine community. So that's on Friday at 4:30.
Albuquerque and Taos host the weekend's other events. And we'll have more details on this story a bit later for you during At Noon's feature segment. Rancor is mounting downstate as a hearing approaches next week that could help pave the way for a Roswell meat processor to begin horse slaughtering operations. On Tuesday, the State Environment Department takes comments at the Chavez County Courthouse to decide whether to renew the Valley Meat Company's water discharge permit. KOB-TV's website reports opponents of the planned equine slaughterhouse have gathered some 3,000 signatures in opposition to the permit renewal. If the permit is granted, Valley Meat faces just one final federal approval by the end of the month and says it will start operations in November. Despite the bankruptcy closure of the nation's largest organic peanut butter processor, Sunland Incorporated of Portales, the effect on the Portales economy is expected to be minor. Today's Albuquerque Journal says the city manager there expects the annual gross receipts tax loss will be in the neighborhood of $46,000. An outbreak of salmonella in nut butter products last year caused illness in 20 states. It was traced back to Sunland, which was forced to shut down for an extended period. Unable to regain financial traction, the company closed last week, laying off some 100 employees. U.S. Senator Tom Udall is delivering the keynote address today for a naturalization ceremony in Albuquerque. 68 New Mexico residents from 29 countries will become U.S. citizens. Later today, the senator attends the investiture of Kenneth J. Gonzalez as the U.S. District Judge for New Mexico. Gonzalez was confirmed by the Senate in June. He served previously as the U.S. Attorney for the state. Santa Fe police say two men are behind bars after causing criminal damage to some downtown businesses in the overnight hours Thursday. Kenneth Brooks, 45, and Rustin Radcliffe, 34, face felony criminal charges after they were caught throwing rocks through windows. Police say it's unclear if the men were intoxicated at the time. They note both men have lengthy criminal histories with scores of arrests for disorderly conduct, criminal trespassing, and aggravated battery, among others. Officials in Curry County on New Mexico's East Side Line are considering a ban on electronic cigarettes. The Clovis News Journal reports that a proposal unveiled this week has drawn mixed reactions. County Manager Lance Pyle says it mirrors other bans adopted by cities and counties in the state. E-cigarettes deliver nicotine through water vapor rather than through tobacco smoke. Violations would come with a $500 fine. The proposal is set to go before the county commission there early next month. Fans of Breaking Bad, mourning the end of the TV series, have a chance tomorrow to say farewell to show hero Walter White. A real funeral for White is set for 4:30 at Sunset Memorial Park on Manal Avenue in Albuquerque. The event will feature a procession to the cemetery, escorted by the Bernalillo County Sheriff's Office, which is being paid privately for its overtime efforts. Unlike most funerals, tickets are being sold for this one, with proceeds going to Albuquerque Healthcare for the Homeless. Some $11,000 has already been raised. The statewide average for a gallon of regular unleaded fuel in New Mexico is $3.19, that according to AAA New Mexico. That's 1 cent less than a week ago and 43 cents less than a year ago. New Mexico is paying 17 cents less than the national average of $3.36. Winter in New Mexico is likely to bring warmer than normal temperatures and less than average precipitation totals. That's the latest outlook from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. NOAA says that neither El Niño nor La Niña is in play this year, and that gives more influence to something called the Pacific Decadal Oscillation. That modality is in a negative phase, which likely means warmer, drier weather for the U.S. Southwest. And weather for Santa Fe, sunny, dry weather in store today and through the weekend. Highs today in the mid-50s will warm to the lower 60s by Sunday. Lows tonight near 25 degrees and low 30s later in the period. Meanwhile, the current Santa Fe temperature now 53 degrees. This is Dan Garrity for KSFR News. At noon here on KSFR, we'll continue in just a moment.
Support comes from Naropa University, with degrees in the expressive arts including art therapy, dance therapy, body psychotherapy, wilderness therapy, and more. Learn more online at naropa.edu.
10 minutes past the hour as At Noon now segues to today's feature stories. By way of combination of the health insurance exchange started in New Mexico as part of the Affordable Care Act and the expansion of the state Medicaid program, college students who might not otherwise be able to find affordable health insurance are now being offered affordable options. To help get the word out about these new programs to students, the Health Insurance Exchange has given a grant to the University of New Mexico Health Sciences Center. Rodney McNeese is with UNM Hospital and now joins us to discuss the new plan options. Rodney, let's start by having you tell us about the grant.
The UNM Health Science Center did receive a grant through Dr. Art Kaufman's office to help coordinate outreach for college students in various parts of the state and to coordinate with not only within UNM but with other university communities around the state. Dr. Kaufman's office has folks out in various parts of New Mexico, and they did receive a grant from the exchange to actively outreach to college students through that mechanism.
What new programs are available that are particularly useful for college students?
Well, the exchange has several different levels of plans that are available, and under the Affordable Care Act, there are several options that potentially college students could take advantage of. In New Mexico, one of the options is not directly tied to the exchange, but for many college students could be a viable option, is actually Medicaid expansion. In New Mexico, the governor chose to do expansion of Medicaid, and what that would mean is, as of January, people who traditionally have not been able to qualify for Medicaid, for a single person, could have income up to about $16,000 a year and potentially qualify. And for many college students, depending on their work situation, if they're working part-time jobs, that certainly could be a viable option, and actually it would be a very low-cost option. For other college students, they potentially would not qualify for Medicaid because they do make too much income, or there are other reasons why they wouldn't qualify for Medicaid. Then on the health exchange, there are several different plan levels that students, like other people, could actually go on and select a health plan and receive assistance from the federal government with their premium and also with the out-of-pocket cost associated with those plans. And again, there's several different companies are offering plans in New Mexico, and students could go on and you know, try to select a plan that seems to fit them.
Does the student's parents' income affect availability?
Normally, that would be correct. If you know, we're talking college age folks who are over 18 and who are basically independent, then that their parents' income would not be considered as part of the equation.
And what sort of premiums will the college students be looking at?
Well, I can tell tell you, not necessarily for a single college student, but for just generally, and this is information from the exchange, and it would basically be the same for a college student or anybody else who's going to the exchange to get insurance. And it really depends on their income level as far as their maximum out-of-pocket premium cost. But based on the exchange data, if their income is 138% of the poverty level, which again for a single person is a little less than $16,000 a year, the maximum monthly premium payment would be somewhere around $40 a month. If their income's a little bit higher, say 200% of poverty, which is going to be somewhere around $23,000, the maximum out-of-pocket is $121 per month.
How will students be able to get this information?
Well, the state is having a series of public meetings related to Medicaid, and those are in various venues around Bernalillo County. There are the state websites through both Centennial Care, which is what they call the Medicaid expansion program, and folks can actually go online now starting in October, even though the Medicaid expansion programs are not effective until January 1st. People can actually go on to the state website and apply for coverage online. They could also contact their income support division through the state, just like you qualify or apply for Medicaid now. For the exchange also has a website called Be Well New Mexico, and currently the New Mexico's exchange enrollment utilizes the federal enrollment platform, and there have been some issues with where currently that system is not 100% functional. There's as I'm sure everybody has seen in the news, there's been some issues with that. However, they also have a New Mexico program attached to the exchange for small employer groups, and that actually is functioning, and they are actually enrolling people for the small employer plans.
Anything else you'd like our listeners to know?
It's a great opportunity for people who have perhaps never had access to health care to be able to have options available to them. And just that I would really encourage folks to take advantage of that. There are resources within the community. There's lots of community groups doing outreach and enrollment activities. UNM has outreach assistance available, as I say, within some of our sites. Just really encourage folks to learn what options are available to them and to, take advantage of what they're eligible for.
Rodney McNeese with the University of New Mexico Health Center. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR, which will continue in just a moment.
The Lensic proudly presents Lions, Elephants, and Giants, an evening with National Geographic photographer Michael Nick Nichols, on Tuesday, October 22nd at 7 p.m. Nichols will discuss his award-winning work with African wildlife and his new book, Earth to Sky. For tickets to see photographer Nick Nichols on October 22nd, call 988-1234 or visit TicketSantaFe.org. The Lensic is a nonprofit member-supported organization.
18 minutes past the hour as At Noon continues. Though buildings may not be thought of as living beings, some structures can be carriers of illness. A recent example in Santa Fe was the main library downtown, which had to be closed for some time to remove dangerous mold found growing there. Also, the city now has plans to drill wells to check for underground contaminant deposits at future construction sites, that in the wake of the petroleum contamination unearthed while excavating for Santa Fe's new county courthouse. Now, a group is being formed to look into the health of New Mexico structures. Joining us now is Bruce Weatherby, a former president of the Central Labor Council of Northern New Mexico and founder of the new group called the Healthy Work Initiative. Bruce, tell us what prompted you to found this new group.
For the last few years, as a result of issues that were brought to my attention when I was president of the Central Labor Council here in Northern New Mexico, we've been hearing problems at various workplaces, particularly in public buildings. in the Santa Fe area where people felt they were getting sick and having other long-term respiratory types of problems. And after poking around at this for quite a bit of time and trying to figure out where to begin and ask questions, over the last year, I've been able to, and I'm no longer the president of the Central Labor Council. I've been doing this with help from others who are interested as well. But we've been kind of just trying to get to the bottom of these issues. And we stumbled across a report called the Regional Targeted Brownfields Environmental Assessment of the Santa Fe River that was done in 2010 for the city of Santa Fe. And there's been some reports on that in the newspaper recently. And the city's actually doing a very good job in trying to determine, based upon the gasoline that was found beneath the surface over at the new courthouse while they were doing the construction of it. The city decided to take a look at what's going on in the river, and given the investment they were making in a lot of different projects out there, improving parks and wanting to make sure with the release of water into the river on a more regular basis, was that going to create additional problems as far as pollution or not, or would it be a good thing? They made the smart move, which is ask for a scientific study of the area, and that's an ongoing process. Its initial study done in 2010 identified dozens and dozens of places that have at least what would be considered historical evidence of hazardous materials being used at workplaces going all the way back, in commercial places, going all the way back to late 1800s. Yes. One thing we have found out, though, is I don't lay the blame on this on the current administration. It goes back several administrations where people kind of, it's almost like they don't want to find out what the problem is because they're afraid that the consequences would be significant in terms of remediation costs. And it's like we can't keep on burying up the issues that need to be addressed. And we know, for instance, over at the Baton building, we know people have been sick who used to work in the basement there. And what we're going to do is reach out to a lot of folks. We're going to ask for employee organizations, some of whom have been working very hard to try to put together an effort to protect their folks. But we're going to ask them to pull all their resources together in terms of people resources.
You're putting together this group yourself without any government or corporate sponsorship, correct?
Well, it's not just myself. There are other people who are just concerned about this and saying, let's have our government pay attention to this. And we're encouraging the current administration to step up and embrace. The first thing that would be great is if they embrace the EPA guidance that's used for vapor intrusion. We don't know if that's what a cause of some of these illness that people have experienced in various buildings, but we do know people have been getting sick. And that's a pretty commonly known occurrence. And we need to, instead of finding all the reasons why we can't do something, we need to find out what the problem is.
How do people interested in getting involved with the Healthy Workplace Initiative get in contact with you?
I don't have a contact number, but I do have an email address, which I can give you that they can send some information. The contact information will get back to them. And it's hwinewmexico@gmail.com.
Any final thoughts for our listeners?
Only that they get involved. We know that, like I said before, employee organizations are doing what they can to try to protect their folks. We need to get more support from the public and keep attention on this so that it doesn't go away. And the interesting thing, we need to create jobs. Jobs get created in remediation projects. This could be actually the sweet side of identifying the problem and getting some people to work.
Bruce Weatherby with the Healthy Workplace Initiative. Many thanks for joining us here at noon on KSFR. And again, for those people interested perhaps in getting involved, that email address, we'll repeat that for you now. It is hwinewmexico, all in caps, no spaces, hwinewmexico@gmail.com. At noon, we'll continue in just a moment.
Hello, this is Tom O'Connor, music director and conductor of Santa Fe Pro Musica, inviting you to join us for Tchaikovsky Serenade, a concert featuring the Santa Fe Pro Musical Orchestra and flutist Carol Redman. Our performances will explore the Greek legend of Orpheus and Eurydice in Gluck's beloved Minuet and Dance of the Blessed Spirits, as well as Orfeo II by living composer Thea Musgrave. We will also perform Handel's Concerto Grosso in D Major, Opus 6, No. 5, and Tchaikovsky's rich and dramatic Serenade for String Orchestra. Join us on Saturday, October the 19th at 6 p.m. or Sunday, October the 20th at 3 p.m. in St. Francis Auditorium. For tickets, call Santa Fe Pro Musica at 988-4640 or the Lensic at 988-1234. For more information, please visit santafepromusica.com. Pro Musica is a tax-exempt organization.
1224 here at KSFR. As we mentioned earlier in our local news headlines, several New Mexico environmental groups are rallying against fracking this weekend in an event called the Global Frackdown. KSFR's Tom Trowbridge has the story.
Fracking, also known as hydraulic fracturing, is the process of blasting millions of gallons of water and chemicals underground to release natural gas and oil from tight rock formations. Environmentalists contend that fracking is linked to water contamination and climate change. New Mexico's participation in the Global Frackdown is spearheaded by Food and Water Watch, Environment New Mexico, the Sierra Club, and Wild Earth Guardians, convening a series of events to draw attention to the relatively new procedure. Eleanor Bravo is the Southwest Coordinator for Food and Water Watch.
Years ago, we used to have these gushers. You'd drill a well, and then oil would gush out, and those kind of went dry. And so they tried deep water, and that has terrible risks. So fracking is the method that they use now to kind of shock the dregs of the natural gas out of shale deposits. And it is, of course, a kind of a new-ish technology. I mean, we've been drilling for oil here in New Mexico for many, many years. But in 2005, this fracking technology became very sophisticated and also is exempt from the Clean Water Act and the Safe Drinking Water Act.
Bravo says the risks of fracking are largely unknown.
But we know we can't get the operators can't get most of that chemically laced fluid out of the ground that they injected in. What they can reclaim, they're injecting into injection wells and now causing earthquakes. There have been many, many instances of endocrine disruption, people getting sick, water being terribly polluted. These well casings inevitably fail, and then this chemically laced fluid goes into our water streams, our lakes, and in New Mexico into our groundwater.
Bravo contends fracking's use of water doesn't make sense in dry New Mexico.
We have towns and cities in New Mexico that are running out of drinking water. Now, why should we take fresh water that we could drink and pour it down these holes just to get a little bit of gas that's left over?
The Global Frackdown activities launch today at 4:30 in Las Vegas with the 11th hour rally against fracking.
And it is a group of activists up there because the oil and gas industry is very interested in that pristine community. So that's on Friday at 4:30.
Bravo says tomorrow's event in Albuquerque is a screening of a documentary.
We will be showing a free screening of Gasland 2, which is a sequel to Josh Fox's acclaimed initial Gasland documentary, and we're showing that at O'Dog near Knob Hill, and the screening is at 12. We're going to open the doors at 11. We'll have a lot of information. And then after the screening, we will have a panel discussion with some activists from Mora and San Miguel County.
Sunday, says Bravo, features another film.
We will have a screening of a film called Rooted Lands, and it is a locally made documentary about Mora County, and that's at the Harwood Center for the Arts at 2 p.m. So that's what's going on in New Mexico.
Bravo says New Mexico's traditional dependence on oil and gas is troubling.
In New Mexico, we get the majority of our funding for our education from oil and gas. So it's kind of a habit. we're getting this money, let's just keep getting it. The unfortunate part is we're drilling twice as many wells and getting half as much oil. This is called an extractive industry, and we only get a very small percentage of what oil and gas companies are selling our natural gas for. So it's a kind of future proposition that is not a good future plan.
The New Mexico events are part of over 200 actions taking place around the world as part of the second annual Global Frackdown. For KSFR, I'm Tom Tropridge.
Santa Fe Art Institute hosts artist and cultural provocateur Dred Scott at SFAI. Scott's work stands on the lively boundaries between issues of polarization, exploitation, and intellectual development and participatory democracy. His exhibition entitled Money, Patriotism, Death, Polls, and Manifestos runs through November 22nd at SFAI. Learn more at sfai.org or call 424-5050. A message from the tax-exempt SFAI.
Santa Feans have been working hard on conservation efforts. Now, it'll be easier to recycle discarded items on Santa Fe's famed plaza. KSFR News reporter Charles Maynard joins us now to give us the report.
The city of Santa Fe has actively been working to make the city different, the city clean. Now a new project is underway at the plaza to help make recycling easier. Cindy Padilla is the Environmental Services Division Director for the city.
You know, we're really excited about this, and it's actually been a great partnership. We're going to be installing some permanent trash and recycling receptacles on the plaza, and it's actually made possible through a grant to keep Santa Fe beautiful from the state organization of New Mexico Clean and Beautiful of the State Tourism Department. And these receptacles, we're going to be placing 11 receptacles on the plaza that, you know, have the separation, the separate containers for paper, for plastic bottles, and then for trash. And just to make it a lot more convenient for people to recycle, having them right next to each other. And the containers themselves, the actual receptacles, we took to the city's historic district review board, and they looked at the containers, chose the containers, and they look very much like what you see on the plaza now, only they're going to be a little bit larger. They're going to be the green, the wire, so they're going to fit right into the plaza. You know how it is now. We know we have to pay very close attention to what we do downtown on the plaza, and we also had to get state approval to put the containers there, which we did. And so now we're excited. We have the green light. We hope to get them installed within the next couple of weeks. The Parks Division is really working hard on getting them installed, you know, before the real bad weather gets here. They do some cement work and some anchoring and things like that so that they, you know, really do stay permanent. So we're really excited about it. It's definitely a great grant to keep Santa Fe beautiful, a great organization that helps us all the time. And having permanent recycling containers on the plaza is just the beginning. We hope to have permanent trash and recycling containers throughout the city at all of our city facilities.
Ms. Padilla says Santa Fe compares favorably in our environmental conservation efforts with other cities.
Conservation efforts, all things considered from a sustainability perspective, and looking at Santa Fe as a sustainable community, when we look at how we do with water conservation, I mean, Santa Fe is definitely leading the way across the country in water conservation and its efforts in conserving water. I think our air quality and, you know, conserving our air is definitely up there as well. You know, we're very fortunate to have very clean air, and you know, we don't have any kind of deforestation or burning or, you know, anything that we have to be too concerned about. People with a bike-friendly community, it's an energy-efficient year. People are looking at solar conservation, improving solar use throughout the city. So, I mean, I think conservation, we're doing very well. Recycling is also a conservation effort. And actually, you know, we have 50% participation rate on our curbside recycling rates, which is actually pretty good considering, you know, right in the middle, you know, where people are in terms of recycling. We could certainly do better. I just ran some new numbers, and we're having a study done on, you know, how we are doing, you know, from a cost efficiency and effectiveness way on, you know, our whole refuse service and recycling. So we'll have some good information about that in the, you know, coming up. But, you know, all things considered, I mean, we were right at 8%, and I think we were calculating and not really giving ourselves credit for all the recycling and reuse that's being in the city. So I think we're looking at some preliminary numbers going to be closer to 20 to 25%, which is actually very, very good.
Cindy Padilla with the City of Santa Fe. For KSFR News, I'm Charles Maynard.
12:33 here in the KSFR newsroom, just past the bottom of the hour, and again, the perfect time to spend 60 seconds with our resident curmudgeon, Christopher Hagen.
I pulled up at a pump at an All Subs. Four times I tried my credit card at the pump. It was rejected each time. Getting into my car, I noticed a Jeep had pulled up right behind me, so I couldn't back up. I got out, and the driver belligerently asked, "Did you just put $20 of gasoline into your car?" "No," I replied. "You sure?" The 20-something driver barked at me. I said, "No, it wouldn't take my credit card." Now I'm getting irritated with Mr. Angry about something. Then the truth spewed out, no doubt reluctantly, from his mouth. It seems he had parked his Jeep at the pump, gone into the store, prepaid $20 in cash for gas, walked out to the pump, got into his Jeep, and drove away without putting his $20 of prepaid gasoline into his gasoline tank. After hearing his befuddled story, I asked him to back up so I could move my car away from his pump. As I drove away, I thanked God for letting me meet a person who did something as dumb as I would. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
And back now at KSFR, where we will conclude today's edition of At Noon, KSFR's extended noon news hour. Dan Garrity with you here at the news desk, with many thanks to my contributing colleagues today, Charles Maynard and Tom Trowbridge. If you tune in at this time tomorrow, you will hear At Noon Weekend Edition, wherein we revisit some of the feature stories we explored for you this week. Otherwise, we will all be back here on Monday with more news of and for New Mexico for you. And as always, we hope you join us.